with me to Exodus chapter 1, page 40 in the Pew Bibles. Exodus chapter 1. If you're using the Pew Bibles, you'll find it in page 40. It's the next book after the book of the beginnings. I'm going to read from verse 15. Then we will pray, and then the children will be released. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shifra and Pua, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile River. But let every girl live." If the Bible is God's word, and if we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you, again acknowledging that you are present with us today. We pray that, Lord, you may enable us to hear, to understand, and to obey your word. We pray that you may accomplish what you intend to accomplish through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So last Sunday, we began our series on God's revelation is our invitation. This series will be focusing on Moses. But last Sunday we talked about the children of Israel and the life that they were going through in Egypt, and today we are looking at that. And the reason is we want to see the kind of environment that they were and how God entered into that, how God showed up in that situation. This is a series that I'm so excited about, because I believe it will help us to answer some of the burning questions that some of us have been asking on hearing God and responding to his voice. If that has been one of the questions you've been asking, how do I know that God is speaking to me? And how do I respond to that voice? This will be the series that is going to help answer those questions. It is also going to help us see how God uses even those people that feel weak, those people that feel unqualified, how God uses them. And as we see in our passage, last time Pharaoh decided, because the Israelites were increasing in number, he decided to deal with them ruthlessly, to deal with them harshly. The goal was to stop their growth. He did this so that he could stop their growth. But we are told, we saw last Sunday, that the more he mistreated them, the more they multiplied, the more they increased. So Pharaoh, knowing that his strategy is not working, he comes up with a new strategy. This time, he calls the two midwives who are in charge, probably, of the other midwives, like the head nurses. And he tells them, this is what I want you to do. For when a Hebrew woman is giving birth, the moment you realize that the child is a male child, kill him. Right there. And then you will tell the mother it was a stillbirth. The midwives understood what Pharaoh had asked them to do. And this is one part that we don't really know what happened. We don't know whether how they disobeyed this command, whether they would be present when the child was being born and decide not to kill him, or whether they devised a plan where the Hebrew women were allowed to give birth before even the midwives arrived. Whichever way they did it, they disobeyed Pharaoh's command. And Pharaoh, after a period of time, he realized that these people are still increasing. His goal was to stop the Israelites from raising a young army of men. That's why he wanted the male children to be killed. It wasn't so much about them increasing in number, but if they had more men, it was going to make it easier for them to turn against or even attack the Egyptians. So he was stopping them from raising a military military warriors of young men. And so when he realized that they were still increasing, he summoned these midwives and asked them, I gave you a command. I told you what I wanted you to do. How come you allowed the male children to live? And these midwives looked at Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, there is something that you don't understand here. These Hebrew women are not like the Egyptians' women. They are different. They are vigorous. Before the midwives arrive, they have already given birth. And that makes it difficult for us to kill the baby, because the baby is supposed to be killed even before the mother realizes that the baby, even before the baby cries. That was the plan. And Pharaoh doesn't seem to blame them for that. What he does is he comes up with another plan. And this time, it's not just, the command is not only to the midwives, but to all the Egyptians. And the command is, when you see a Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw them into the Nile River so that they can be eaten by crocodiles. Pharaoh is dedicated. He is devoted to see that God's plan does not succeed. He's taking a place of God over life and death. But we are told here that the reason these midwives did not obey the king is because they feared God. That's the reason they did not obey him. That's the reason they refused to follow his command. And we are also told that God rewarded them. In verse 20, God was kind to them and he rewarded them for their obedience because they feared him. These midwives understood that God was more powerful than Pharaoh. Pharaoh here is trying to, without knowing, he's opposing God's plan of sending a savior. By killing the male children, he's going against the plan of God that he had promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that I will raise up a seed that will step on Satan, which is a promise to the coming savior, to Christ, in Genesis 3:15. By making sure that the male children are killed, he's stopping that plan. Without knowing, Pharaoh was working against God, even without knowing that God was planning to raise Moses to deliver his children. Wherever there is a culture of death, Satan is involved. Wherever there is a culture that promotes death, Satan is involved. And Pharaoh here is a portrait of Satan himself. This kind of culture has been seen in history. The killing of the Jews in German. Is it German or Germany? Germany. The killing of the Jews in Germany. The one family, one child policy in China. And the pro-choice movement in Western countries. Wherever there is a culture that promotes death, Satan is involved. The pro-choice movement in Western countries is an example of that. It is always Satan's strategy to oppose life. We are told in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. In John 10:10. And the thief here referred to Jesus is actually the devil himself. His work is to steal, kill, and destroy. Wherever there is a culture that promotes death, Satan is involved. But Shifra and Pua here, is that how you pronounced that name? The second one, poor. Doesn't matter really, because they were Hebrews. Amen. So you could be wrong too. They understand that obeying God is more important than obeying Pharaoh. They understand that by disobeying Pharaoh, we are risking our lives, but they also know that by obeying God, we are saving our lives. Somewhere Jesus told his disciples, "Do not be afraid of those who can destroy the flesh. Be afraid of the one who is able to destroy the flesh and the soul." These women understand that. And the message from this text is simple. When we fear God, we become courageous because God is faithful. When we fear God, we become courageous because God is faithful. The reason these women were courageous enough to stand against Pharaoh's command was because they feared God. They recognized that there is power that is above all other powers. They recognized that we have a God in whom we believe, and this God is stronger than Godzilla or the monster in the sea. Sometimes back when I was teaching children, there was a song that I used to teach them just to give them an idea of how big God is. And we would sing and say, our God is bigger, bigger. Our God is bigger, bigger. Our God is bigger. And the devil smaller, smaller. And the devil smaller, smaller. And the devil smaller. God is big. The God that we believe in is a big God. In fact, the devil should not be compared with God. He is not the opposite of God, because he was only an angel and he was fired. He lost his job. The only reason that he irritates and frustrates people is because he knows that his days are numbered. You and I need to recognize how big our God is, and the faith that we have on that big God is the courage that we need to face every challenge that comes our way. And these two women, Shifra and Pua, understood this. You know, it takes courage to stand against Satan and men like Pharaoh. It takes courage. When we talk about courage, sometimes we think this has to do with how muscular you are and how fearless you are. But the courage that I'm talking about is the courage that comes by having faith in Jesus Christ. It's the courage that comes by understanding that I believe in someone who is more powerful than anyone else. Amen. It's that kind of courage. It's the courage that makes us humble, but also makes us confident. It takes courage to stand against men like Pharaoh and Satan himself. But we are told these women feared God because they knew how powerful God is. And because of their fear, they obeyed and they were rewarded for their obedience. Let me give you some facts about God's faithfulness, because this is key here. God is always aware of what is happening. He doesn't need to look, to visit a social media platform to know what's going on. He doesn't need to log in to Facebook or Twitter to know what's going on. He is always aware of what is going on. He's aware of what is going on in your life right now. He knows the worries, the fears, the questions that you ask. He knows your prayer even before you pray it. He's aware of that pain. He's aware of that tear that you shed. Number two, God always has his witnesses in every situation. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you are going through. God always has his witness. You look at history, there will always be people that will stand out and declare that they believe in God. Regardless of the persecution, regardless of the pain, regardless of the frustration, God always has his witnesses, regardless of the situation. Number three, God will always show up in his own way. He will always show up in his own way. In many ways that we may not expect him to, he will show up. And we will see this next week when we focus on the birth of Moses. Just when you think that he has left you, just when you are tempted to think that you are alone, just when you are tempted to think that it's the end, he shows up. In his own way, sometimes he will use someone to just come in there and give you a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's a text that you receive. Sometimes it's something that you just read and it strikes you. It speaks to you. Sometimes it's a thought that he brings to your mind. He will always show up in his own way. Number four, God always rewards faithfulness. He always rewards faithfulness. As we continue to be faithful here on earth, God continues to reward us. And in the end, he will still reward us. He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little things. Come in and enjoy the rest of your life in the presence of your Father in heaven." He always rewards faithfulness. And this is something that we need to teach our children. In a society where unfaithfulness may be given more attention, it is our duty to teach our children to be faithful, because God rewards that. In a society where we are tempted to lie and cheat, it is our duty to encourage our children to be faithful. And let me say that a time has come for believers in Jesus Christ to take a stand. Because we will face this pressure, and we are facing this pressure, even in our homes. With our families, some of us, because of our faith, we are not regarded so highly. Some of us at work, we are isolated because of our faith. At school, at colleges, there is a lot of pressure that Christians are facing right now, especially those ones that are not ashamed of identifying themselves with Christ. And therefore, time has come for us to take a stand, for us not to be ashamed of Christ. Look at what 2 Timothy says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 and 13. In a community where our faith may speak against the culture, 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13 says, In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, because evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Things will get worse before they get better. And this is happening to God's people. Now, some of us here have enjoyed a life of peace and security. Some of us have followed Christ because our hope is he's going to protect us. Some of us will want to follow Christ because we hope that he's going to keep us away from trouble. Now, the Bible says, as we declare our stand for Christ, we are declaring our stand against everything else that is against Christ. This is a challenge for us to realize that even in this culture, Christians must take a stand with Christ. Regardless of your political affiliations. Because as believers, our courage is an expression of our faith. Our courage is an expression of our faith. Our courage is an expression of our faith. And when the laws of men contradict the laws of God, our duty is to resist. We have to ask ourselves, are we going to fear man or God? When the laws of men contradict the laws of God, resistance becomes our duty. We have to resist them. These two courageous women understood this. They understood that God was against what Pharaoh was asking, and they made a conscious choice to stand with God. And God saw that, and he rewarded them for that. Like Peter and John in Acts chapter 5, we will say that we must obey God rather than man when we face opposition, when we are persecuted, when we are forced to obey laws that are against God. In Acts chapter 5, Peter, after going through some beatings and being asked not to preach about Jesus, they say, choose for yourselves, guys. Just think about this. Shall we obey man rather than God? You see, these guys looked at Peter and John, and they saw their courage, and they looked at their resume, and they saw these are not even graduates of a seminary, Bible, or a Bible college. They looked at them. These guys have never even gone to any college. They never even went to high school. They looked at them and these are ordinary men. They are fishermen. Where do they get this courage from? And then they concluded that the reason these guys are courageous is because they have been with Jesus. When we fear God, we become courageous because God is faithful. In Daniel chapter 3, we see three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to compromise their faith, knowing that doing so would risk their lives. See, when we realize this, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will refuse to compromise, even if it means facing a blazing furnace. When we realize that our fear of God makes us courageous, we will choose, like Daniel, to bow, not to bow down before an idol, but to bow down before God in prayer, even though it may lead us to a den of lions. When you look at these people who are not afraid to die for their faith, humanly speaking, they were not strong. But because of their faith, they were courageous enough to take a stand, to stand with God. And in many cases, God showed up in his own way. Like David, we will face the giant that is threatening us, and we will say that even though you are coming with me with swords and spears and javelin, I come to you in the name of the Lord. We will be courageous. When everyone else is shaking and running away, we will stand with Christ and be a witness to the world. And like Paul, we will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, these are some of the passages that we must remind ourselves of. These are some of the passages that we need to put them in our bathrooms so that every time we visit it, we remind ourselves that we can do all things. And even what I am doing now, I'm doing it through Christ who gives me the strength. Because our courage is an expression of our faith. If you can fear God, you will get the courage to face anything. Anything. Because anyone who is fighting you will be fighting God himself. You see, even the death of Christ on the cross is actually an expression of courage. It is an expression of God's love, but it is also an expression of courage. He was willing to take our pain, willing to take our death. He was courageous enough to face his persecutors. He was courageous enough to face his death, knowing that by his death, you and I would be saved. Show me a woman of faith. Show me a man of faith, and I will show you a woman of courage, a man of courage. I'm not talking about you lifting up weights and filling your muscles and having those 6 packs or 7 packs or whatever packs you're going to have and feeling that you walking as if you control the world until you get coronavirus and you can't even walk again. You can't even speak until it reminds you of how weak you are. I'm not talking about that courage that comes by human endeavors. I'm talking about the courage that comes by having faith in the Lord. And I'm not praying that any one of us would get coronavirus. But sometimes the challenges we face are there to remind us of our need for Christ. They're there to remind us of how weak we are and how needy we are to God. We need men and women who have the courage to say no to ungodliness. We need men and women who have the courage to say, I am wrong. We need men and women who have the courage to say, please forgive me. If you think that you are too strong or too right to say, please forgive me, then you haven't yet known who Christ is. We need men and women who are courageous enough to forgive others. We need men and women who have the courage to pray in public. Some of us are not Catholics here, but in public we become Catholics because it's easier to pray that way. We need men and women who are not afraid to pray in public, to stop and pray. You take your coffee and before you drink it, you give glory to God. And you do it loud enough so that the next person can hear you. Thank you, Jesus, for this cup of coffee. And they will turn and look at you. It takes courage, and that courage comes from the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We need men and women who are courageous enough not to be ashamed of the gospel. Easter is coming, and one of the things that we will be doing, we will have special cards for Easter that we are going to give out, and you will use them to invite people to our Easter service. But one of the things that I would like you to take with you is that when we obey God, we should do so because it is our desire to want to please Him. And that means putting God first. That means recognizing Him as our Lord and our Savior. That means understanding that this God is not only powerful, but He is faithful. This God can not only see what is going on, He shows up. And so when you are playing a part in giving that card and inviting someone to our Easter worship service, it does take some courage to do that. And that courage has to come from the faith that you have in Christ. Let me just tell you something here. I'm done. Andrea here is one of my favorite Christians. I said Christians, which means there are many. Andrea invited our dear sister Maria here. She was not expecting this. And some of you don't even know Maria because you haven't connected with her. But Andrea, how many times did you invite her?
Just once.
Just once and she came? Oh, really? You should invite many people then. Maria is here with us today because Andrea invited her. And there are several people that are here because someone invited them. See, when you are taking this step, you shouldn't be thinking of what is going to happen. You should let God take control of that. If these women had taken time to think, what will Pharaoh do when he realizes that we've been doing this? Or when he realizes that this is what we are going to do, what will he do? If they had started thinking about that, it would have discouraged them from obeying God. Let us play our part and let God play His part. Just as when we pray, we are not forcing God to do what we want. We are doing what God has asked us to do, knowing that it is His prerogative to do what He wants to do. When you fear God, doesn't matter how strong or weak you are, you will be courageous because God is faithful. So this week, may God give you the strength, the faith that you need to be courageous in every situation, that you will remind yourself, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in me than the one that is in the world. And take courage. Remind yourself that the one you believe in is stronger than anything you're going to face. And let God be God in your life. I thank you, Lord, this morning again for this opportunity to come before your people and to see you and to be reminded of who you are and how you see us. I pray that you may be exalted in this life, that you may be glorified in this church and in every family that is represented here. I pray that your name may be magnified, that you may give your people the courage they need to face the challenges they meet, and that you may be glorified through them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.